Good morning. It's 8th of May. Our New Testament reading today is Acts chapter 20, in which we read about Eutychus. I'm going to read to you from Brother Harry Whittaker. I read, Paul's week at Troas came to an astonishing climax. He had held on there so as to be with the full ecclesia in fellowship at the Lord's table on the first day of the week. This Saturday night, Sunday morning gathering to remember Christ was now well established. Indeed, the name Sunday was very early adopted, not because of current pagan practice, but in memory of the rising of the Sun of Righteousness on the first day of the week. The phrase about breaking bread should certainly be read with reference to the sacrament, and not as though telling of an ordinary meal. Would such a writer as Luke take the trouble to mention such an ordinary detail unless he'd had a significance quite out of the ordinary? First, then, the crowded gathering partook of the love feast, the early Christian counterpart to the supper the Lord Jesus had with his disciples in the upper room. It was a time devoted also to holy conversation, with Paul, naturally enough, at the hub of it all. Then came the formal discourse, corresponding to the word of exhortation in a modern ecclesia. Paul still had a great deal to say to them. At midnight, he was still talking. Sitting on a ledge at a window was a youth who may well have been a slave, called Eutychus. The fatigue of his activities that day, together with the fact that the room was becoming steadily hotter, thanks to the many lights and the number of people using up the oxygen, gradually became too much for him. Luke's text paints such a picture of him, struggling in vain against overpowering tiredness, that one writer has gone so far as to suggest that Luke, sitting in another part of the room, was able to observe all the details of this fight to keep awake, and yet, because of the throng, could do nothing to help him shake off his drowsiness. At last, sleep won. The boy lolled over into oblivion, but unhappily he slumped the wrong way. A moment later he was falling unimpeded from that second-story window. There was a sickening thud as he hit the ground, and a clamour of consternation from those who realised what had happened. Soon, the entire congregation was gathered round the body. Naturally, Luke the physician had immediate opportunity to examine the boy and assess his injuries. This took very little time. Luke knew that there was no hope at all. I can do nothing here. He is dead. Now Paul took charge of the situation. Stop your noise, he rather abruptly commanded. And gathering the limp form of Eutychus in his arms, he declared very firmly, his life is in him. And sure enough, the pallor of death changed to a healthy colour. The boy opened his eyes and forthwith scrambled to his feet to an accompaniment of gasps of astonishment and fervent shouts of thankfulness to God. What a contrast with Ahaziah, king of Samaria, who likewise fell through a lattice, and, when he came round, sent for reassurance to the priests of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. To him there came from the man of God the grim message, Thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. Instead, for Eutychus, there was marked similarity of experience to great miracles wrought by both Elijah and Elisha, only with an intriguing difference. Elijah restored the widow's son by stretching himself upon the child three times. Elisha similarly restored the Shunammite's dead son, but he embraced the child twice. So also Paul with Eutychus, but only once. The Lord Jesus gave life to the son of the widow of Nain with just a word and a touch. There must be significance in a progression of this kind. But what it is, we do not know. Thank you for listening.